All right. All right, we'll be in Colossians 2. Looks like I left off with verse 18. And he gives another warning here. And this is a good verse as far as warning goes. You know, I'm getting to where I really like warning verses, because I need to take warning, because there's so many things nowadays, so much deception in the world, so many people. A lot of times, some of the people you would have thought would just really love to really have a good motive toward you, they're just trying to trick you. And so the Bible, that's what I like about the Bible. The Bible helps you to discern between good and evil. Is that person really somebody who cares about me, or is that somebody who's trying to use me and get something out of me? And that's the thing about the Bible. And, man, we all need help in that, because I can tell you, we can be blind to some of the things. Man, so easily blind. I know myself, a lot of times, it's so easy, and I think, Lord, how was I so blinded to that? And so he tells you here, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. Now, there's all kinds of things in the Bible where it says don't let a man beguile you. And so there's warnings all in many places. I want to tell you the first place here is going to be, we're going to look at this morning, 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. We're going to look at this first beguiling here. There's many of them, but we're going to look at these three main ones here to me. Now, the first thing I'm going to tell you this morning, that the Bible warns you not to be beguiled through the devil's subtlety. The devil is so subtle. The Bible says over in Genesis chapter 3 that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now, subtle means it's kind of like he comes to you with subtlety. The devil is not going to come to you and show you how ugly he is. The devil is going to come to you as something as beautiful as he can come to you. That's like you look at, well, a serpent is ugly to me, because we know that snakes are mean. But now, a snake is a majestic-looking creature. That's why you think about a snake, you think how that thing looks and the colors it's on it and everything else. If we didn't know how dangerous it was, somebody might think, man, that's a pretty creep. The devil comes to you as an angel of light. He's not an angel, but he comes to you as, the Bible says, as an angel of light. So an angel of light, light something, he's a counterfeit to Jesus as the light. So he counterfeits good things. So the devil, if he's going to trick you, he is going to try to find something that you're in your life that you're wanting. And he'll try to counterfeit, because God wants to fulfill your needs and your desires, but he'll fulfill it to you in a godly manner. But the devil will try to come to that thing and counterfeit it, and he'll try to give you that desire either before you're ready to have it or in a way you shouldn't have it. Does that make sense? Now watch, he'll come to you with subtlety. So the subtlety of the devil, it says, but I fear lest by any means, that means he'll use any means. The devil, man, the devil don't care what it is, any means. One place over there, I can't remember, Daddy may be able to tell me where it is, but it seemed like in 2 Thessalonians, he said, let no man deceive you by any means. You remember that verse you tell me about? I think it's in 2 Thessalonians, but it says this. As the serpent beguiled Eve, here's this as here, through his subtlety, here's the so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, you know what the devil did to deceive Eve? The devil got Eve to question God's word. He said, yea, hath God said. Do you know that in God's goodness and God's provision, if the devil can get you to question God on any circumstance, the devil has got you in a bad place. You know, you get these atheists and things like that, and I've talked to them before. You know what one of the things they say? They say, well, if there is a God, they know. Their minds know better. They say, well, if there is a God, why is all this bad stuff happening? Like that's an excuse. That is no excuse at all. Friends, this earth is under a curse. The Bible says it's under a curse. And until the Lord gets back, it's not going to be right. So the thing is, do y'all know that one of the worst things that can happen to people is good happen to them all the time, nothing ever bad happened to them? You know, most of the time, them people don't ever seek after God. But if you ever notice, I know in my life, in your life, when did you seek God the most? When the good was happening, when the bad was happening? When the bad. Hey, you know what I've learned? thank God for the bad. As bad as it is, thank God for it, because you would rather that bad thing happen and you get close to God and some of these people get saved and some of these people get in church and get to following God than get out there and then get to heaven and not have any rewards or anything. You know, I think a lot of us, when we get to heaven, we get out there, I think a lot of us are going to thank God for that bad thing that happened, because, man, we get out there and we've actually got some rewards, and that's actually out there in eternity. I think we'll thank God and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that, for getting me in line with you. And see, the devil will try to get you to counterfeit or to question God's goodness. And so that subtlety, he comes to you, and look what it says here. Your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity in Christ. You know what happened? The devil can corrupt people's minds. You say, what's wrong? You ever wonder, why is that person like that? Why is he doing that? Why is she doing that? Well, it's a mind problem. The devil has actually got them to question God. And what happens is, whenever we get to question God, it corrupts the thought process. Your thoughts aren't right. Y'all remember that guy who was full of the devils over there in Mark? And it says that he was cutting himself, and man, he was harming his own self and everything else. But you know what happened whenever he met Jesus? The Bible said he was clothed and in his right mind. Do you know this morning, one thing you can thank God for is the fact that you got enough sense to follow God, a sound mind. Because I can tell you, man, whenever we get to where we're questioning God, you know what happens? The bolts come loose. And man, that's a scary thing. And so God is simple. He said the simplicity. You know what people stumble over so much is the simplicity of the gospel. Do you know that salvation is easy, but man makes it hard? I like to tell y'all every chance I get, look, salvation's easy. Man's the one that makes it hard. If you want to be saved, anytime somebody wants to be saved, if they'll believe with their heart and they'll come and say, Lord, I believe you died for me, shed your blood for me, rose again the third day, Lord, now, best I know how, Lord Jesus, save me. And guess what happened? The Bible says if you called on him, he'll save you. You got some of these people, I have to get off on this just a minute. You got some of these people, and if you do this, it's fine. I've had a lot of people that can tell me the exact day, the exact hour, like whenever they got saved, they're looking at their watch. You ever seen somebody like that? And man, I mean, that's great if you do that. But you know what? Whenever I got saved, I didn't know what time it was. I didn't know I was supposed to be looking at my watch. You know, I just got saved. You know, I don't know exactly. And the thing is, you got to realize this. I've got people, and a lot of them, I love them, but they have doubted their salvation and things like that. And you know what I tell them? They say, well, how do I know? How do I know? I say, or how do I know I trusted right? Well, first of all, they're in a pretty good spot if they're worried about that. You know why? Because out of the heart proceed the things of the mouth. So it's what's coming out of their mouth in their heart. They're concerned about God. That's a good thing right there. Some people don't even worry whether they even had it or whatever. That's a bad spot to be in. If you're concerned about it, that's good. And the thing is, I asked him this. Are you trusting Christ right now? Yes, I'm trusting. Well, you say, if you're trusting him now, you have trusted him sometime. Does that make sense? You got some people, they say, well, I don't know the exact day, or I don't know the exact hour, or where it was. Well, are you trusting Christ? I'm trusting him right now. Well, you have trusted him, so you're saved. I mean, that blesses my heart, because y'all, I'm going to tell you, it's hard. Do you imagine how scared you would be if you didn't know? Just walk around, I don't know, man. I just don't know. If I can't do anything else is to let somebody know, look here, if you trusted Christ, you saved. Now, the ones who've got something to worry about is the ones who've never trusted him. And friends, I can tell you, that's why I like to tell y'all about the doctrine of eternal security as much as I'm able to. Anytime I come across it, do you know why? You can serve the Lord a whole lot better when you know he's not going to just kick you out anytime. I can. I know that because I can tell you, some of these folks who make out like they're keeping it on their own and everything, some of them are some of those wicked devils I've ever seen in my life. And they think they can keep it. So you have to be careful. The simplicity. So the devil can fool you on that. Another thing too, turn back to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 verse 4. It says this. This is another warning here. He says, and this I say, lest any man, that's a preacher, that's any, I like how he says any man, that's anybody, can if anybody says it, should beguile you, watch this, with enticing words. See, it goes back to the word, man, the devil will use, he'll use people who got the slickest speech. And I try to tell you all the time, Romans 16:18, mark that verse. By good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Most people are deceived by somebody who's got some real good words. Like, for instance, politicians. You ever notice the politicians that get elected? Most time it's not the honest politician. I know some honest ones get elected every now and then, but for the most part, man, what a great speaker he was when he gets up there. And man, he's got that smooth, no roughness whatsoever. And he ain't going to raise his voice at all. God forbid he raise his voice. And they get up there and I'm going to lower this and I'm going to lower and I'm going to do this and we're going to go and yes, we can. And you know what? And man, this world, wow. You know, it's the good words. You think about this. And you know, you got these politicians and things like that. I'm just hopping off on this. If they really wanted to help people, do you know the easiest way to help folks and put money in folks' pockets like they talk about they're going to do? Lower taxes. But they all raise them. You know, if you lowered taxes, guess what happened? People have more money to go out and spend. But whenever they raise taxes, people have less money to spend. You'd think they'd know that, but they don't realize that. That's like, for instance, in a town. If you're going to help a town, do you know the sales tax? If you would lower the sales tax, guess what would happen? People would come to your town to get the deals. They'd say, hey, man, we need to go to Hickory Flat, or hey, man, we need to go to Ripley because they got lower sales tax there. Let's go shop in their store. But now they want to raise the tax. You know what I mean? It's the good words. They know that works. That's why they tell you. That's how they get in office. I'm a lower. They get there and they raise them. What I'm saying is good work, bunch of liars. And so the devil will try to use somebody who lies to you. I can tell you this. When somebody loves you, they'll tell you the truth whether it hurts or not. You know, the thing is, that's like, for instance, if somebody, you know who you like. If you got an outfit on, you know who you want to ask. Somebody's going to shoot you straight, whether it hurts your feelings or not. How does this look? Oh, it looks great. You know, no. How does it look? Don't really look. I don't look too good. Well, at least they told you, and you know to go change. That way you don't like idiots. You know what I mean? That's who you want to talk to. And so it's better just to shoot somebody straight. And so the devil tries to lie to you. Now here, let me show you this third one here. You can be beguiled through subtlety. You can be beguiled through enticing words. And right here, he can beguile you right here of your reward. And the Bible says you can miss out on rewards. If y'all want that verse, you can write it down. It's 2 John verse 8. He said, some people won't have a full reward there. And so you can lose rewards. The Christian cannot lose his salvation, but you can lose your rewards. Now, how could he keep you from getting a full reward right here? How could he trick you into that? Now, here we go. In a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. He's warning people of that. You think about Mormons. Look at all these people right here who are in Mormonism or things like that who... Maybe even some of these Christians get deceived into all this angel stuff about angels. People are fascinated with angels today. Do you know most folks don't even know that angels don't have wings? Do you know there's not one angel? You can't find one verse of Scripture where an angel has wings. Who has wings? Seraphim and cherubim have wings. Angels do not have wings. The Bible says you can entertain an angel unawares. Well, if an angel had wings, if I entertained him, I would know that was an angel. I'd say, look here, I saw something with wings, and I was entertaining him. That was an angel. He thinks he got me fooled. But now what it is in the Bible there, angels appear as men. You read over there in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, whenever those men came to Abraham, two of them were angels there, the Bible says. But guess what? They didn't have no wings. They looked just like men. In the Bible, they'll look like men. And so... that's what you've got there. And you got these Catholics and things like that. Friends, they are just infatuated, are fascinated with angels. And friend, this world is getting so fascinated. Who are we supposed to be fascinated with? Jesus Christ. And so in the church age, we are walking by faith, not by sight of anything. Your sight will fool you. So what you got is you got these people and they'll read the Old Testament. They don't rightly divide the Word of God. They see all this angel stuff going on in the Old Testament. Man, angels here and angels there. Well, they want that for us right now. Right now, guess what? We don't need any visions. We got verses. All right, well, in the tribulation, when the church is called out, you've got in Revelation angels all over the place. This angel blowing his trumpet, this angel doing this, one angel's flying around with the everlasting gospel, and you got all these angels coming around. Well, the angels are going to be back involved whenever the Jews get involved. But for us, friends, I'm going to tell you something. If you see an angel, run, or don't talk to it. You know why? Because in the Bible, that is a devil. You read over in the book of Zechariah chapter number 5, if anything's got wings, especially if it's a female angel and it's got wings, it's a devil. And so a lot of people, you know, you got so many people. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, I saw some angels. She said, I know you don't believe it. I said, oh, I believe it. So many people, if the devil knows you want to see something, I just bit my tongue. That devil knows you want to see something, man, he'll give it to you. And friend, the devil knows what you want, man. He hears you, and man, he'll give you that thing and fool you. You think about Muhammad. He said he saw a 600-winged angel in his house one time. Now, 600 wings, how would something have 600 wings anyway? And one man, I think it was Oral Roberts, said he saw like I forgot how many feet it was, but like a 80-foot Jesus or something like that right there in his bedroom. Now, hold on a minute now. How would an 80-foot Jesus fit in a bedroom with only 8-foot ceiling? And you see, you got these people going by the stuff they ought not. And you know, the thing is, for us, we think that's funny. But y'all, you got some of these people, and they'll tell you that just as straight-faced as they can tell you that they saw these things. And friends, I'm telling you, sometimes you can see things that the devil gives to you to trick you. And so the devil would love to trick you. Why? He says, intruding in those things which he hath not seen. See, that Bible says, look, you hadn't seen that stuff. If you have seen it, a lot of times the devil has given it to you. I want to show you something here. Why I show you this every time I run across it. You say, how could people be so deceived? How could people even come to think that you could even see things? Well, what you've got is these new perversions of the Scriptures. They take one verse. See, that's why we got one standard, that King James Bible right there. Your Bible says they have not seen those things. I showed this to Uncle Bob and Diddy, I think. But some of you, this says, this Bible here says, or this false Bible says, that what he has seen. See, that this Bible's telling you that you have seen those things. See that? See, it says he has seen them. See, that's totally different. See, he has seen. And see, you see what you got there? You got yourself there. You got one saying one thing and one saying another thing. See, he has seen. You see that in that NIV? See, he has seen. Now, you got one saying one thing. Well, you wonder how many people be deceived. I tell you how. You got these charismatic churches, and you got a preacher stand up there and see right there, that Bible says that we have seen these things. And you can imagine a man, and he's preaching from a Bible. He's up there, and I have seen these angels. Well, everybody's going, all right, I see it right there. Well, then they go home and get themselves a vision. They come back and say, I've seen 4 or 5 angels the other night too. But our Bible says he had not seen them. Now, why does the Bible warn you, and what kind of attitude just breed? Look right here, it says, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. You know what? That's the flesh. That's the flesh right there. The flesh will try to get you into these things. And the flesh will try to get you to say, hey, look what I've seen. And so, you know what? I remember thinking this before I knew these things. Some of these people would tell me about these angels they seen and all these visions they was getting. I was thinking, man, I ain't spiritual because I ain't seeing these angels and I'm not getting, you know. And the thing is, y'all, they're just, most of them are either deceived or they're just lying. A lot of these folks that sees all these angels they talk about, I heard a preacher on the radio one time. He said this. He said, if I hadn't seen a vision or an angel, he said, and he said, in 2 weeks, he said, I know something's wrong with me. He said, I'll fast 40 days. Now, let me tell you something. I went to college on that stuff, and I'm not saying I'm smart, but I spent some time studying on that. Very, very, very few people in this whole world can fast 20 days. Very few. If a man fasts 40 days, he's a bad dude. In the Scripture, you got Moses fasting 40 days and Elijah, I believe, in Jesus Christ. But other than that, you ain't going to see anybody hardly fasting 40 days because it'll near about kill you. Well, when 40 days, after you fasted 40 days, you are in bad shape. And man, I'm telling you, you're weak without food that long. I tell you how hard it is. Anybody in here who would like to try fasting 2 days, you try fasting 2 days and see how much trouble you have. And you got these people lying. What they're doing, they're lying to you. And this is going on in the world. So the devil says in these times here, people are going to try to fool you by this. Now, I want to give you a couple verses here. Look at Jude verse 10. Jude, right before Revelation. It's kind of neat that it's in that order there. Jude verse 10, he's telling you things like this because he's telling you to be real careful about this type of attitude because you got some of these people, man, who just lie to you. It says in verse 10, he's talking about angels, and he's talking about verse 9, Michael, even the archangel. Whenever he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, he didn't bring a railing accusation. He just said, "Lord, the Lord rebuke you." You know, you got some of these people, and they'd say, "I just stomp on the devil. Or I just bind Satan." You know, you don't bind Satan. An angel in Revelation 20 binds Satan, and other than that, you won't find nobody binding Satan, because I can tell you, the only person that can fool with him is the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody else, he can whip them. You got to be careful about that. If Michael's the archangel, Michael, all he did was say, "The Lord rebuke you," we better leave him alone. And look what it says in verse 10. "But these speak evil of those things," watch this, "which they know not." You got people who talk about these things, like talking bad about the devil and everything else. They don't know nothing about the devil. You just leave him alone and let the Lord talk bad about him. And leave him alone. It says, "But what they know naturally, see, as brute beasts, and these they corrupt themselves." You know what you'll find these people doing? They get vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, the Bible says. You'll find them corrupting themselves. Why? Because they get away from the Word of God, and they get to looking at these visions, and what happens is they get to going after these people who are teaching these false doctrines. Well, guess what? False doctrine can corrupt your mind. And before long, they believe the church is going through the tribulation. Before long, they don't believe in eternal security anymore. Before long, they don't believe that the Scripture is infallible. Before long, they don't believe in just what the Bible says. Let me tell you something. If any preacher, that's I myself or anybody, if they step outside that Bible and they say something that contradicts the Bible, the preacher's always wrong and the Bible's always right. But you got some people, hey, they think that well, my pastor just says so-and-so. Okay, well, if he says something that goes along with the book, that's fine. But if he says something that don't go along with the book, the pastor's always wrong. And I hope y'all know that because, look, Brother Chase can be wrong, but that Bible can never be right. I mean, can never be wrong. And so you got pastors teaching false doctrine. Now, I want to show you a story while we got just a little bit of time. Look at 1 Kings. About this fooling here. Fooling you. And what people do is, You've got a prophet here in the Old Testament, and the Lord gives him a message. He goes down and tells the message, and it's a tough message. He got to cry against something, and so he does cry against it, and later on his prophecy does come true. But what happened was, is you have an old prophet in verse 11, and that old prophet finds out that the young prophet came in who had the message of the Lord, and guess what the old prophet wants to do? The old prophet wants to get that new prophet in, and he says, "Look, he says, come here with me." And that man says, "No, I'm not coming with you." Well, how does he fool him? Look at verse 18. Verse 18 said, "He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art." Now watch, he's lying to him. "And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water." But he lied unto him. You see what people will do? You see how the devil will do? The devil will try to trick you and undermine God's authority through any other authority. You know what that man should have said? "Hey, look, I don't care what the angel said. The Lord himself told me not to come back with you." But he said, "Well, that guy says he's a prophet. He says he's a man of God." See, you got a lot of these folks saying they're a man of God, but I'm going to tell you something. If they give any other message, you know what Paul said during the church age? If somebody preach any other gospel, though an angel of God says it, he said, let him be accursed. So in the church age, it's by grace through faith. If anybody tells you anything any different, it don't matter if it's an angel, it's a lie. And so what you've got is you've got people nowadays who will try to lie to you by any means. That just happens to be in verse 18, 666. Well, guess what happens to him? 1 Kings 13, verse 18. Sorry about that. Yeah, 1 Kings chapter number 13, verse 18. Okay, yeah, I may not have said 1 Kings 13. Another thing, too, what you'll find is this. When the prophet leaves, watch what happens to him in verse 24. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, the lion also stood by the carcass. Now guess what you've got there? You've got a lion coming by and killing that man. Well, 1 Peter 5:8 tells you in the New Testament, the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. You know what he loves to devour? He'd like to devour up a Christian who steps outside of God's word and begins to walk along the flesh. You know what? If he can't have your soul, he'd love to have your testimony. And he'd love to get your eyes and your hands and your feet or anything else he can get a hold of. And so that's what you've got. Hey, I know some people who are just as saved as I am and headed to heaven. But you know what's happened? They let the devil fool them. And you know what? The devil's got their testimony. Man, they're just serving him with their body. But now their soul's saved. And friend, that can happen. You know why the Bible says, if any man think he stand, take heed lest he fall? The reason why is because it can happen to any of us. It can happen right here, man. If you let me get away from that word right there and quit praying and quit reading my Bible, and you know what will happen? Right out there in the world will go. And so you have to be real careful. It can happen to anybody. And here's this prophet. Hey, he was used of the Lord. But you know what happened? The devil got him. And so you notice also, too, that he wasn't worried about the donkey over there or anybody else around. He just stood by. And you know what the devil will do? The devil will do that same thing. He'll slay you, and he'll watch there. He'll watch you while you corrupt. And, man, he don't care. And so you got that beguiling there. Now, let's get back to Colossians. Let's look at some other stuff there. So that's what you got. You got the devil tries to beguile you. And so we've got the warning. Isn't it awesome that we can get in there in God's Word and find out the warnings and find out how he works and avoid the paths? And so avoid it. Now, verse 19 says, "And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and hands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." So what they're saying is, look, if somebody's going off on that right there, they're not holding the head, which is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the head of the body. And so if we don't hold up the head, the Bible says holding forth the word of life, and the Bible says looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when we get to holding up the head, And if we get to where we stop holding up the head, that's what I should have said, what'll happen is you get fleshy, and then we can get deceived. The thing to pray is, Lord, help me not to live according to the flesh. Help me to live according to the Spirit. Because your flesh is constantly warring against your spirit. And, man, every day, I have to fight it every day. I said, Lord, help me. Because, man, sometimes it's so easy to get to where you yield to the flesh. Because, y'all, these tempers, man, we'll get married. I tell y'all this all the time, but Ripley is the worst place to drive. And people pull right out in front of you, and the very next spate pull right there in. And I think, why? Nobody's behind me. All they had to do was wait one more car. And, man, it's so easy. You just want to lay on that horn, you know. And you just have to be careful about it. And that's what we're dealing with. Now, another thing, too, verse 20 says this. "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world," it says, "why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" All right, so what you've got here is you've got, if you're dead, what if we're dead? The Bible says we're dead in Christ. Look at Colossians 3, verse 3. Look at this. If you're dead, Bible says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Well, guess what happened? Whenever you trusted Jesus Christ, the old you died. Judicially, your body is dead. And so what's happening is you're waiting for the change. You're waiting for your changed body. So what's happening is your soul is saved, but you're having to fight this flesh every day. So if you're dead with Christ, why are we still living to the old rudiments? Now, what's rudiments? It's kind of like root things, basic things. He's saying, look, why are you living? Why are you going back? He's telling them, don't go back to the basic thought patterns of this world. This present evil world has some basic thought patterns that it goes by, and I'm going to share some of them with you. The rudiments are the principal thoughts of this world. That's the basic thoughts that this world goes by. I'm going to share some of them with you, and you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Here's some of them. Everybody else does it. That's a basic thought that this world, that's one of the rudiments of this world. I've heard that so many times, and I've even said it my own self. Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, they get to do it. All right, that's basic rudiments. Here's another one. We've always done it that way. That's just how we've always done it. That's the root. He's saying, look, don't go back to these things because this is not of Christ. He said, those things will beguile you. They will fool you. Watch this. A little bit don't hurt. You ever heard that? I've heard that. That's the basic philosophies this world goes by. I've heard that so many times. Well, just a little bit don't hurt. Hey, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It don't take but just a little bit. Oh, this one right here. My conscience doesn't convict me. I wish I could tell y'all. I can't share it with you. But it's bad. I had a boy tell me one time. I told him, I said, now you know that's wrong. He said, my conscience don't convict me on it. And I thought, it don't matter what you've seared. You can sear your conscience toward a thing. There's some things, y'all, that are just as wicked as it can be. And you know what we can do? We can tell ourselves a lie so many times that we believe it. And man, if it goes against the Bible, no matter what our conscience says, because you can sear your conscience. Now, here's another one. We know when to quit. You ever heard that one? I know when to quit. And y'all, that's the basic rudiments that this Bible has got that stuff. He said, don't go to these things. Here's another one. You got to make a living somehow. You got some people, man, and they'll be doing something completely against the law, try to make money. You know what they say? You got to make a living. Well, look, man, look, if it's going against God's word, then it don't matter. I mean, you just go broke in that area. And the thing is, you got some of these people who, for instance, God would never tell you to go work in a casino. You know why? Because he'd give you another job. He's not going to make you work in an area to where you can't at least witness for him and serve him. God will let you work in a place to where you can at least witness for him. Does that make sense? And so we can't make excuses. And another one too, it all depends on how you look at it. I've heard that so many times. Man, some people say, well, I just don't look at it that way. What's the Bible say about it? You have to be careful about that. That's the rudiments of this world. Here's another one too. Wrote this one down. I know good folks and they do it that way. Hey, I've heard people say that on the Bible issue. You'll talk to some of these guys, and I'll say, well, I just believe that Bible is the Word of God, and we're not supposed to correct it, and you're supposed to leave it alone. Well, I know some good folks that correct it. Well, the Bible says great men are not always wise. There's a lot of great men that the Lord has used, but where they correct that Bible at, they're wrong and God's right. And you see that's their flesh nature. Well, they just sinned when they did that. Hey, I do a lot of sins every day. I'm wrong in that area. I may be right in another area, but I'm wrong there. And you got some of these people, they think they can say, well, a better translation would be, you better shut your mouth. That's not the Lord talking right there. That's the devil. And no matter how good a man he is. Another thing, too, that's the basic philosophies of the world. Now, let me give you some rudiments of the Christian. The Christian has basic fundamentals that we're to go by, basic thought patterns. Here's some of them. Is it right according to God's word? What we are supposed to ask ourselves, if this will help you in any decision you make, is this right with God's word? Is what I'm doing right here, would this line up with God's word? And man, that helps me so much because sometimes you just need a certain question and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Well, a lot of times, look, God, if he's already written it for you in his word and you can go in there and find it, God's not going to just speak down from heaven and say, hey, look, here it is, whenever he's got it written for you. And so that's why we're to hide his word in our heart. A lot of times, I've been reading through that Bible before and just completely forget about a verse. And I'll be doing something, or we may be talking about something, and I say, I really don't know what to do. Let me pray about it. And the Lord may bring to my memory a verse. And I'll say, look, that would contradict that verse. Or I'd say, now that right there, go right along with that verse. And man, that'd be fine right there. And y'all, that's a thought pattern that'll help you. Here's another one. Will it please God? If you can't get by with that first thing, You can ask yourself this right here. Before I make this decision, will this decision please God? That's a good thing to go by. Here's another one. Does it edify? Does it edify? Is this something right here that's going to help somebody else? Is this something that's going to help me? Or is this somebody's going to help something else? Does it edify? You know, there's a lot of things, y'all, that just don't edify. There's a lot of things that's not sin that don't edify. For instance, there's nothing wrong with playing golf. I know some folks down the road from me, man, they'd play all golf, and that's all they want to talk about is golf. There's no sin in golf, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a sin in going on a Sunday when the family should be at church and playing golf. You see, does that thing edify? Is that something that's going to get you closer to God? Hey, there's a whole lot of things. There's no sin at all in, but it's just not edifying in that particular time. Here's another thing. Is it useful? Ask yourself before you make a decision, is this useful? There's a lot of things, you know, that I've asked myself before. Is this a useful thing? And, you know, there's some things, just by asking that question right there, the Lord said, hey, this would be a useful thing. Hey, get into that. That'd be something that's useful, something to help you, something to help other folks, you know. So there's a lot of things that the Lord will lead you in that question. There's a lot of things, man. You can say, Lord, is this useful? And the Lord, you know, you will know, hey, that's something there would be a useful thing. And so as long as it bring glory to God, go ahead. Another thing, will it bring God glory? And we've kind of went over that. Will it please God? But will it bring God glory? That's like in your prayers. If y'all will ask that in your prayer, it helps you so much. Lord, will this thing bring you glory that I'm asking about? Will this thing help you get the glory you deserve? And it'll help you a lot in your prayers. Now, here's another good one too. Can I sincerely thank God for it? You know, that covers a lot of stuff right there. Can I sincerely thank God for it? You know, you got some of these people and they say, well, I just believe I can go out here and do this. I believe I can go out here and do that. And I believe I can, hey, okay. And they say, well, Brother Chase, you think that's right? Look, do whatever you want to do, but before you do that, just ask God to bless it. You think, you know, wouldn't that keep us out of a whole lot of trouble? You got some of these people and they'll ask me questions. I say, well, hey, if you can ask God to bless it, go ahead then. And because I can tell you, there's been a lot of things that I've done, I can't bow my head before I do it and ask God to bless it. And that keeps you out of a lot of trouble right there. Before you make a decision or before you do something, can you ask God to bless that thing? And man, I tell you what, that conscience will convict you. I've had things before, and man, some of them not here here pretty recently. And I'll say, Lord, Doug, can you bless this? And man, it's like a magnet. I can't explain it, but you'll know what I'm talking about. When you ask the Lord to bless something, and man, it's just like a magnet. You can just tell that there's an opposition there. And you say, Lord, I realize I don't need to do that. It'll keep you from a lot of trouble. Here's the last one I'll give you. How will it appear at the judgment seat of Christ? How will it appear at the judgment seat of Christ? There's a lot of decisions that you'll make daily that'll help you if you ask yourself, now look, how's this thing going to look whenever I stand before my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ? Is this thing right here going to be something that'll stand? Is this going to be gold, silver, precious stone? Or is this going to be wood, hay, and stubble? And friends, I tell you what, that'll root a lot of things out of your life. I know with me, there's a lot of things. I got a lot of work to do, I can tell you. Because there's a lot of things you get to thinking about it, and you say, Lord, now I know that that's not right, and I know you know I know it. Lord, help me with it. You know, there's a lot of things. You're not going to get rid of everything all at once. It's a constant process, so you have to ask, Lord, help me with it. And friends, He'll help you because He tells us to make our requests made known to Him. And I know He will. And we need to stop there. And I need to get Carla to cut that off.